Good evening out there in Radio Land. I am your host, Pastor Tiara Hawthorne, along with Prophet Demetrius Hawthorne, and you're tuned in to God Chasers Ministries radio broadcast, where we're seeking God's face like never before. Keep it locked right here for an anointed, heart-penetrating word from the Lord.
Good evening, everyone out there. I am Pastor Tiara Hawthorne with God Chasers Ministries, where we are seeking the face of God like never before. And I am going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 11. And I'm going to start with the first verse, and I'm going to go through to verses 5, and then I'll be bouncing back and forth here. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him in all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned unto her house, and the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, "I am with child." So I want to stop there. We all may have read this story on numerous occasions, and I've heard this talked about so many times, but today I want to title this lesson, "Don't Get It Twisted." Amen. Don't get it twisted. Keep that in your membrane here. I want to give you a brief background, because the last we came together, I know that we were talking about Joshua, the season of Joshua, and how Moses had passed away. Joshua came in and took over because he was a warrior. And so it was his job to take the remnant of those who did believe and who did not fall in the wilderness and go over, arise and go over and take hold of the inheritance that the Lord had given. And so, you know, we talked about that being in the Joshua season, and it was going to really be in a high time of warfare and really beginning to take that kingdom by force as the Lord had instructed. And one of the things that the Lord had instructed as well was that, you know, he said that you're not just going for your own inheritance, but there was a part where he talked about now you're going to go up and fight with your brother, amen, and make sure that he also received his inheritance, amen. And so I'm going somewhere with this, and so I want to kind of have you keep that in your memory bank. But nevertheless, we want to get back to here, and we were talking about David, and we understand that at this particular time, you know, his heart had been lifted up. And the reason why his heart had been lifted up is because his enemies had began to fall, and you know, so his enemies were falling. He's victorious in battle, amen. And so at this point, he can do no wrong. And so here we are with David, and he sent and inquired after this woman. So we see that he saw her, and she was beautiful to look upon. And so he had inquired about this woman, and so the report comes back about who she is and that she belongs to Uriah the Hittite, and we know that he is a righteous man. Okay, so going on from there, the information has already been relayed to David, but he still, after receiving this information, takes it upon himself to take this woman. And so we know that Bathsheba we consider her to be Uriah, who is this righteous man. She is his inheritance. This is all that he has. Amen. And it's talked about when, you know, in the next scriptures, when, you know, he takes her, and then Nathan has to come up and explain, like, hey, this is, you didn't take from your inheritance, but you took from what the poor man had, and this is all that he had. Amen. And so this is, you know, relayed to David, and it's important to get this mind frame, because where I'm going here is the spirits behind it, okay? So all of this being said, we know of the story, but so there's this covetousness, excuse me, that that he's dealing with, this spirit of covetousness. And so it's not shut down there. Once he gets the information, it's not shut down as to say, okay, that's a righteous man, I'm going to leave that alone. But he still takes it within him, his heart, to go after what is forbidden. And so this is where we have the spirit of perversion, okay? So remember I said don't get it twisted, because that's what it means. The spirit of perversion means to twist things and to and so we now get to a place where we're doing things crooked and not straight, okay? And so we think about covetousness, and we the Lord talks about us coveting things, desiring things, amen. But the unrighteous part of it is when we desire the forbidden thing. And so we want to keep this in mind as well. So the covetousness, he has this desire, he inquires about it, and once he realizes it's forbidden, he still doesn't stop there. Amen. And so now we have this perversion, because he's going crooked, and he is desiring something that doesn't belong to him, and it is off limits. It belongs to someone else. Okay. So you have the spirit of perversion here, because he's getting it twisted in regards to his authority. Okay, so with all of this, we have covetousness, we have the spirit of perversion, which is all being driven by lust. And so then we go on and we see that you know, he goes from there, and he cannot cover this thing up, because Uriah is faithful and loyal. Amen. And so what he goes on from there, because he can't cover this thing up, is he now goes to murder. Okay. So now we're talking about murdering someone, putting them on the front lines in order for you to accomplish that thing you set forth to accomplish, to make your will happen. Okay. And so all of this, I'm going to go, he says, and yes, as I so liveth, I will not do this thing. In verses 12 and chapter 12, I want to go here and skip around for the sake of time. It says, for thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also put thy sin away. Thou shalt not die. But rewinding from there, it says, I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom. I gave thee the house of Israel, of Judah, and if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. And now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me, and thou hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. And thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before your eyes. I'll give them unto your neighbor. He shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. Okay, so I want to just stop here, because we talked about the spirit of perversion. We talked about covetousness, and we talked about lust that is driving these things. And, you know, then it's gone to now, what do you call murder? Okay, so we have all of these demonic forces that we're dealing with, all and off of one sin. And so where I'm going with this now, my friends, is to say that this, even though this is just one sin, and he's the king, amen, and we talk about, you know, how righteous he is, and he's only done this one thing, but this one sin has trickled a generational curse. Okay, so we have the spirit of perversion because it's crooked. How he's thinking and doing this thing is crooked because he's taking the inheritance of a righteous man who is his brother, who is loyal, who is faithful, who is on his side. Okay, and so now all sorts of things are in this because now you have the abuse of authority. And so here in all of this is witchcraft, amen. And so we talk about, oh, witches and cauldrons and all this and devil worship. But no, in the Christian sector, this is inside the nation of God. This is his bloodline and lineage, amen, that trickles a generational curse. And in this is a witchcraft because he is manipulating and controlling a situation so that he can get the outcome that he desires, even if it's not the will and purpose of Christ. It's not the will of God. Amen. And so this is, you have to take a look at all of these scenarios in its fullness that's leading up to the sin. Okay, and so even though in verses 12 we see that Nathan comes about by the Spirit of God to make his sin known to him and convict him, amen, of his sin so that he has a godly sorrow and repentance, okay, but nevertheless, the sin, yet it be put away, it's there. Okay, and it has to be dealt with, and it trickles off a generational curse. And so it's important to now to recognize that because of this spirit of perversion, now it's gone off into the generations, though his sins are forgiven and his righteousness before Christ, or before the Lord, excuse me, at that time, is restored. Okay, that still has nothing to do with the lineage and the generations to come now because we have this curse here. And if you don't get yourself right, if you're not seeking after the face of God, if you're not seeking after holiness and seeking after righteousness and going forth before the Lord with a repentant heart daily, you know, surrendering to Christ, then what we have is you get wound up, caught up in the spirits of perversions that are over our lives from previous generations. And we have to stay grafted into that vine so that these curses can be broken, and we must request these curses be broken over our lives. We must be covered by the blood and filled with his spirit so that the Spirit of God can convict us when we're walking in unholiness and unrighteousness, and when we're dealing with these demonic forces that have plagued us for generations. Amen. And so that's what we have here. And it all started off with a lust. I mean, even before then, we have to understand that he's the king. Okay? He's the king. He is running things. And he is our idea of...
Well, saints, our time has come to an end, but we thank you so much for joining in with us as we've been seeking the face of God like never before. We encourage your prayer requests as well as your praise reports. Visit us on the web at www.GodChasersMinistries.org. That's GodChasersMinistries.org. We want to hear from you, or contact us at 334-434-1312. And until next time, may God continue to bless you.